Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got to stay connected on a day like today. There's going to be a lot of news going on. It's coming from all over the place. And we are going to catch up the best we can with the one man that we know could do it. He is one of the finest journalists that we have in this town. He is Tom Withers of the Associated Press. He is a great friend of the program. And he joins us on the North Opposite Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tom, have you picked your head up from Cut Watch?
I'm just hoping to make the cut today, to be honest with you.
Buddy, aren't we all? Aren't we all just hoping to make the cut today?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, so we'll start with this. Have you heard anything involving the Browns being interested in any players being cut? Come on, Tom, we need the dirt.
Not yet. Okay. They are, you know, still hunkered down over in Berea. So and by the way, there's no leaks coming out of that building anymore with the Freddie Kitchens' mantra a few weeks ago that anybody gets caught leaking is going to get fired. So a little tougher to get information these days, but it's we'll see. You know, it's going to be I think what's for Browns fans, what's interesting about today is that, you know, you're finally looking at roster cuts at the bottom of the roster rather than talking about guys in the starting lineup. So isn't that refreshing and obviously underscores where this team is right now.
It is it's amazing how in 2 years how far it's come. I mean,
mind-blowing. Yeah.
We went from the days of, I mean, how many quarterback competitions did you cover in camp?
Oh, good God. I couldn't even name them. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about it, and I think Cleveland fans can relate to this. This in some ways reminds me of what happened to the Indians in the 90s, where there was not this gradual ascension that, okay, they make the playoffs, they're a wild card team, and then it was like, bang, they're in the World Series. And it kind of feels that way with this Browns team. It's like there's not going to be any gradual buildup in terms of expectations and in terms of what the hopes are going into this year. I mean, people are already talking about Super Bowl with this team, which I think is getting way too out in front of your skis at this point. But it's been amazing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a thrill ride. I think we're going to obviously see, you know, some great times. There's going to be some ups and downs. You know, I keep cautioning people that, you know, the start of this season is going to be so very imperative to this team. You know, they can't afford to get out to a 1-3 start or something like that, because then all kinds of questions come into play. But as far as today is concerned, you know, they've got some tough decisions to make. It's at some important spots, and you know, you got to put the trust in John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens to do the right thing.
All right. Well, then we're going to make you put your GM hat on a little bit here. So do you believe that Austin Corbett will be on this team come 4 o'clock today?
Boy, that's one of the bigger issues of the day. I do think he will be, Dan, only because, you know, he gives you value and versatility because he is able to play center. They really don't have that backup guy. And when you saw, and God bless J.C. Treader for doing what he did, and I don't think fans really truly understand what he did last year in playing through pain for damn near half the season. So you got to have that backup there. You know, Corbett has not been impressive, to say the least, right? I mean, they gave him every opportunity to win that right guard job, and he didn't do it. And he's essentially been, you know, the center for the second and third teams now throughout camp. So I do think he holds on. I still think that they're holding out hope that it finally, you know, the light bulb goes off and it kicks in for him. Very difficult to cut a second round pick just in his second year.
Do we see Wyatt Teller as somebody who's here to push Eric Kush and have a shot at the right guard job, or do we see him as a guy who is going to replace Eric Kush?
I think he replaces Eric Kush. I don't think you give up a fifth and sixth round draft pick for a guy who's going to come in and only provide competition and practice and experience and depth to that line. No, I think he's absolutely your starting right guard. I think the only question is whether or not he can get himself up to speed enough to be out there next Sunday. So I think that's clearly where they're going. And I think you could hear from Freddie Kitchens' tone yesterday that, you know, that job is still very wide open with only eight days to go now until the opener.
That blows me away that after everything we went through and all these preseason games, man, we're still right back at square one going, look at this.
What it reminds me of, Dan, is it to me, it's no different than what they went through last year when, you know, Pro Bowl Joe Thomas retires, and then they spend the entire summer camp trying to figure out who's going to play a left tackle, and they had Joel Bitonio there for a while, and they never got that thing fixed until Greg Robinson was, you know, picked up and then and finally plugged in and did an admirable job there. So, you know, think about all the rotation that they had there last year, and this has been very similar. I mean, they traded Kevin Zeitler back in February or March, right? And so here we are now, you know, 5 months later with still an opening there.
All right, just a little quick, tiny bit of breaking news, not involving the Browns, Tom, don't worry. Seattle and Houston have agreed to a trade for Jadeveon Clowney, contingent about Clowney and other players involving passing physicals, according to Jay Glazer.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
That makes Seattle a very different beast, doesn't it? And I heard you mention earlier, too, you know, we're seeing more of these big trades in the NFL now over the last couple of years than we've had in a long time, you know, and obviously we experienced one right here in Cleveland. So, yeah, pretty cool.
It's very cool to see that all taking place. You know, it makes that the trade deadline actually mean something instead of like back in the day where we'd be like, oh, yeah, it's the trade deadline. You guys want to go apple picking?
And don't discount, by the way, our man John Dorsey today, you know, doing something else. You know, it was kind of funny. Yesterday afternoon I had tweeted out that I knew he wouldn't sit still and that I knew that he was still interested in adding some experience on that offensive line. And then sure enough, he pulls the trigger. And so, you know, it wouldn't shock me to see him do something else today. Then he obviously – you know, not only did he make the trade for Teller the other day, then he trades his fourth string quarterback yesterday. So anything is possible with John.
Absolutely. All right. Is the kicker of the 2019 Cleveland Browns currently on the roster?
Yes. I think Austin Siebert has won the job. Siebert. I'm not sure.
I keep doing it too. Don't feel bad.
Yeah. I lived in Siebert Hall at Ohio State. That's why I keep going back there. So, I think he obviously, after a very rough start in camp, you know, got himself straightened out literally over the last couple of weeks. He likened it the other night to be being a car that needed to be realigned. And so, you know, just in terms of some technique and, you know, he was good. Obviously, you know, he makes 4 out of 4 in Tampa, including a real long one. And then, you know, made all 4 kicks the other night under, you know, so the pressure to deliver. And that's all they wanted to see from this kid. Again, I'll go back to, you don't take a guy in the 5th round to cut him right away. I mean, obviously they brought him in because of the kicking problems they had last year. You know, Joseph was, you know, put in a tough spot and he came through and did fine, but he also missed 4 extra points. You can't afford to do that if you're going to be on a team that has playoff aspirations. So I think Austin has settled that down quite a bit here in the last 2 weeks.
That is a good thing of it, because I was half wondering if like they were going to cut both of them and do the, okay, let's see if Mason Crosby maybe gets cut.
Yeah.
We'll bring a guy like that in.
And Carly Lloyd, right? Yeah, I thought that might think outside the box a little bit with that one as well. But no, I think that one's fine. You know, in terms of then the punter, I mean, you know, the Scottish Hammer, Jamie Gillen, what a great story. And obviously the kid has talent. And, you know, that could be somebody that Dorsey dangles out there today as trade bait and, you know, maybe able to get something back in return, whether it's a draft pick or maybe some experience on that offensive line. Because, you know, I think people forget how good Britton Colquitt was last year, you know, and he's got a lot of things going for him. You know, he was a Pro Bowl alternate. I think he set the team record for the most punts inside the 20. And let's not forget, he played at Tennessee and so did the owner. The owner went there as well. So I don't think Colquitt's going anywhere soon.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. I think it's Britton Colquitt's job on the punting side of it. And I think that cleans it up as well. Like, I just give it to Siebert and see what happens. Like, the worst thing that could possibly happen for this team is that they go Chargers of, I think it was 2 years ago, where they had that kid Younghoe Koo, and he missed a couple kicks and they cut him and found somebody else and you go from there. And I think that's how this Browns team should be with the special teams. It's, if he starts missing kicks, you cut him, you move on, and you get somebody else in here who can do it. Because
yeah, that, and unfortunately that lasted too long last year with Zane Gonzalez, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, the miss in the opener or the block kick in the opener. And that's the other thing too, guys, that I've been impressed with in what I've seen of camp, and that there seems to be so much more detail put into the special teams this year. That, I mean, that was a disaster last year when you think about it, right? I mean, that punt coverage was bad. Kickoff coverage was bad. You know, we've talked about the field goal miss opportunities. You know, Colquitt did a nice job, but, you know, on the whole, that whole unit has to go up several notches this year if this team wants to get where it wants to get.
Absolutely. Everybody's got to step up this year if they're going to get where they want to get, Tom. He is Tom Withers. He joins us from the Associated Press on the North Hempstead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Everybody's got to step up because their goal, from what it sounds like, they want Super Bowl. That's what they're claiming that they want. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a wild card playoff team. I think the Steelers are still a little bit better than they are. Do you feel the same way, or is this the Browns division?
I feel exactly the same way. I still think it's going to be a long road to get to a division title in the first year. I mean, obviously, you have to go 4-2 in the division, and that is not easy pickings when, you know, you consider you got to sweep then, you know, either Baltimore or Pittsburgh, and that's been a very tough task for this Browns team, obviously, over the last 20 years. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, Dan, I can see them anywhere in that 9-11 win range. If things go really – and let's not forget, this schedule is tough. There's going to be some real traps, you know, along the way. And as we've talked about, and as Freddie has talked about and embraced, you know, there is a huge bullseye on the Browns. They are the it trendy team in the NFL, and everybody's going to come after them. And, you know, it's a young team that's going to be dealing with those kinds of pressures. I'm not saying that, you know, Baker Mayfield or the rest of those guys can't handle that, but it's going to be a very different animal and a very different thing for them to experience on a week-to-week basis.
Well, and they haven't done a heck of a lot to quiet that down. I mean, they're still continuing to talk.
No, they're embracing it. In fact, they're beating the drum louder than anybody. You know, I've rarely seen a team in my 30 years in this business that has talked as much as the Browns without winning anything. It's really been remarkable. And, hey, shoot, some of it is, you know, for very obvious reasons. You watch that talent out there, and it's real. You know, for years I wondered about Odell Beckham because all I heard about was, you know, all this off-field drama and stuff. Well, I got to tell you, you stand there on the sideline and you say, oh, okay, I get it, because he's an amazing talent. He is an elite player. He's one of those 10-type, you know, transcending-type players that we have in the NFL. And, you know, Jarvis Landry's not too far behind. And then when you mix in guys like Mayfield, who still is growing and has great potential, and a guy like Nick Chubb, and you watch Myles Garrett get off the ball, you're like, okay, I can see why people are picking the Browns this year. So, it's going to take time. I think people have to be patient, and I know that's one word that Browns fans hate to hear, but, you know, once again, you got to exercise a little bit of this if we're going to ever get to the Super Bowl.
All right, now the most important question of the day. First Clash album or London Calling?
Oh, London Calling.
Really? See, I think I'm the First Clash album, and I love London Calling.
Yeah, no, London Calling. I mean, when you listen to that thing, and there is so much there. There's so much depth there. There is, you know, as kind of became their mantra, there's roots rock and reggae in there. I mean, it's just breathtaking when you think about it. And, I tweeted something out yesterday about, you know, if the Clash is not one of your top 10 bands, you failed rock class, because that band, I mean, I'll tell you a quick story. So in 82, I was seeing The Who was my band growing up, and unfortunately – Keith Moon passed before I got a chance to see them at full throttle. But the first time I saw The Who was 1982 at Pontiac Stadium in Detroit, and The Clash opened up. And I had become a huge Clash fan back in high school growing up in New York. And Combat Rock had just come out with, you know, Should I Stay or Should I Go?
That's
and,
a killer
you know,
album,
a few
too.
Other hits. And I tell you what, I was more excited, and I hate to say this about my beloved Who, I was more excited to see The Clash that night than The Who. And and then fortunately, a few years later, they had a Clash exhibition at the Rock Hall, and I ended up covering the story for the AP and ended up getting Mick Jones of the Clash on the phone and had a chance to interview him and talk to him, and it was just one of the thrills of my career, I'll be quite honest.
Did you go full Chris Farley show?
Damn near, but I did tell him. I opened up the interview by thanking him for helping me get through high school. And he said, you turned out all right, didn't you? And it was so fun, and he was great. And, you know, I will challenge people that, you know, to me, you know, the Clash in many ways have been one of the most important bands of the last 50 years.
I'm with you, brother. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it as always. We will leave you now. You can go back to Cut Watch.
Thank you, Dan. Have a good day, bro.
You as well, brother. We'll talk soon.